expects in a Pentecostal sermon, and if I do anything else short of that, you wouldn't appreciate it. So I'm going to preach a Pentecostal sermon tonight, and I'm using three different portions of the Word of God. The first one is in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, was strong, crying in tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. I call your attention to this clause. He became the author of eternal salvation. Now I turn to Hebrews chapter 12 and the first clause of verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now for a text tonight, I read from Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse number 10. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. I preach tonight from verse number 13. But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. I choose to preach from this subject, the planting of the Lord. The planting of the Lord. Let's pray for the preaching of God's word tonight. Our Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach thy word, to preach thy truth. God, anoint me tonight, I pray. Lord, I'm just a man. Anoint me tonight in Jesus' name. Help me to preach tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, in Jesus' name. You may be seated. The Lord bless you tonight. The planting of the Lord. Now, in the Bible, we read many scriptures that identifies the people of God by different names. On one occasion, Jesus called his people sheep. In another scripture, he said, You are the salt of the earth. Then Peter described the saints of God, of the church of God, as being lively stones. There's one thing you'll never find in the Bible. God has never called his people tombstones. They are lively stones. Lively stones. Peter said that he has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, I want to call your attention tonight, what I want to preach about, and the message that I want to convey to this congregation, that God has identified his people in many scriptures as being the trees of righteousness. John the Baptist came preaching. There was one thing about John the Baptist that you will just have to say amen to his preaching. John the Baptist was a great preacher. Now, John the Baptist did not come to build a church. He did not come to organize a church. John the Baptist simply said that he was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist came to introduce Jesus. He did not come to build a church. He did not come to create a multitude of people to follow him. John said there will be a day when he that is to come after me will increase. There will be a day when I must decrease. Now this is why we'll have to say amen to John's preaching in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 10. John said the axe is laid at the root of the tree, and every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now the axe is laid at the root of the tree. John the Baptist preached repentance. 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 He didn't start at the top of the tree and cut off a few limbs. He laid the broad axe of the gospel at the root of the tree. At the root of the tree. Repentance is more than reformation. Repentance is more than turning over a new leaf. Repentance is dying out to sin. Dying out to self. Dying out to the world. Dying out to everything that is unlike God, but becoming alive to the holy things and the spiritual things and the good things of God. Now John said, I've come to preach repentance. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Bible teaches we must preach repentance. A man can't get right with God till he repents. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent you therefore and be converted. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repentance is and was the theme of the preaching and the teaching of the New Testament gospel. But John didn't stop there. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me, of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. 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 The Holy Ghost and fire. Someone asked me one time, why was it that so many icebergs in the queue? I said, because we've got too many polar bears in the pulpit. Everybody ought to get caught afire. When you can walk down the aisles of a Pentecostal church and knock icicles off of the chins of the deacons, it's time to pray for the fire. This never has been an icebox religion. It's always been a furnace of fire. Hallelujah. Fire, fire. That's fire. That's fire. It's always been a furnace of fire. Fire. And John said, I'm going to baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Yeah. Glory.
Before you can ever be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, you've got to have the axe laid at the root of the tree. You've got to get down to the cause of sin. That's at the root of a tree. Not at the top. Get down at the root. Deal with sin. Repent. Be sorry for your sins. Be so sorry for your sins until you're not going to commit them anymore. This never has been a sinning religion. This has been a religion of holiness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. No wonder Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I got a feeling I'm fishing to preach. I want Isaiah 6:21, Jeremiah 17:7. Listen, friend, I tell you by the help of God, did any of you preachers ever come to church with four sermons on your mind? Then I've had the office battle. I had four things that I wanted to preach on tonight, and I still got a less nice left. Somebody says you're going to have to preach double tonight. You didn't preach last night. I'm going to preach tonight double. I'm going to give you a double header. I'm going to fill your platter tonight. I'm going to cut the tree down tonight. I'm going to transplant you. I'm going to translate you. I'm going to put you in the right vineyard tonight. Hallelujah. That's right. The ice is laid at the root of the tree. And every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Isaiah 6:21.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Because the Lord hath anointed me.
Because the Lord hath anointed me.
To preach good tidings.
To preach good tidings.
Unto the meek.
Unto the meek.
He hath sent me.
Me.
To bind up the brokenhearted.
Bind up the brokenhearted.
To proclaim liberty.
To proclaim liberty.
To the captives.
To the captives.
And the opening of the prison.
And the opening of the prison.
To them that are bound.
To them that are bound.
To proclaim the acceptable.
To proclaim the acceptable
year of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
And the day of vengeance of our
and
God.
And the day of vengeance of our God.
To comfort all that mourn.
Oh, this is it. To comfort all that mourn.
Glory.
To comfort all that mourn.
Oh, hallelujah.
To comfort all that mourn. You know what they used in the New Testament after the church was established? The words of comfort they used for the saints that was undergoing tribulation and persecution. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Brother, you may be having a struggle, but the Lord is coming. Brother Weeks, you've lost your loved one.
Yes.
But the Lord is coming.
Thank
the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. Hallelujah. That's right. Therefore, comfort. Left. Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah. The Lord is coming. Hallelujah. That's right. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. Comfort one another with these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Yeah.
He's anointed me to preach good tidings, to comfort them that mourn in Zion.
Yeah.
One day our mourning will be turned to joy. One day the tears will have a streak again. One day, my friend, the tears will never come again. He's going to take those hands. Have you ever thought hands of Jesus many times in the Bible, reached out on different occasions? He touched the leper. He healed the sick. He touched the blind. But one day, those same hands are going to gently wipe all tears from our eyes. There'll be no life there. There'll be no sorrow there.
No.
There'll be no pain there.
Hallelujah.
There'll be no sickness there.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. To comfort them that mourn. Read on.
To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion.
To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion.
To give unto them.
To give unto them.
Beauty for ashes.
Beauty for ashes. Just a minute.
Woo.
Beauty for ashes. Look at our lives. When most of us came to God, all we gave to God was the ashes of a burned out life.
That's
all we had to offer. But we got beauty for ashes. You know, so many people lament, oh, what they have to give up. What they have to give up. What they have to give up. I've got so much more in the trade than what I had to give up.
Yes.
That what I gave up never amounted to anything. I got beauty for ashes. I got comfort in my heart. I have the Holy Ghost tonight. Well, there came to me one night after I got through preaching. He said, you preached. Not a lot of folks got the Holy Ghost in the Bible. He said, there wasn't but 12. That's all. I said, are you sure 12 did? Oh, yes. He said, I'm convinced that 12 did. I said, pull out your pencil and write down 13 because I know I received. One day I pulled out an old suit I hadn't worn in a long time. And when I put the suit on, I reached in my right coat pocket. That was a $20 bill. I don't know how it got there. It got in my pocket. I forgot all about it. I could have took it to the cleaners. They could have kept it. I'd have never known anything about it. A lot of folks are like that with religion. They get it, never know it, lose it, never know when they lost it. Just like the $20 bill. I pulled out every suit of clothes I had. I went through every pocket. But no more. No more. That's right. No more. Tell me tonight, when you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to know it.
Yeah.
I said you're going to know it. I said you're going to know it. Hallelujah. And it won't be long until your neighbor will all find it out. That's right. Hallelujah. Don't tell me it's not real.
It's real.
I said it's real.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that it's not. I preached in these new places. And if a preacher could ever get a chant and a loud speaker, he had it made. I had both. I had a little microphone that I had around my neck. Now, of course, it had a cord to it. And I'd run it back down through this pocket, and I'd button this button over it. And everywhere I went, that cord was right after me. And I was preaching in this new place. Hundreds of people coming. More folks outside than there was inside, just stacked everywhere. And a lady came down for prayer. And I laid my hands on her head. And she fell in the sawdust. And when I turned around, somebody out here spotted that cord hanging underneath my coattail. Man, they backed off. They said, whatever you do, don't you let that fella touch you. He's charged. He's charged. They said, I saw the wire. He's charged. I am charged. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Right. I am charged. I am charged. When I first went to Pentecostal meeting, they said it's all right to go see the show. But watch if every preacher has a handkerchief. And they got something on. They never get close enough to sprinkle that on you. That you'll be an apostolic just as long as you live. No way to ever check out from under the spell. If I had something I could put on this handkerchief and let you get what I'm talking about tonight, I'd go back to my room and get a bed sheet. Brother, we'd have a revival tonight. But it don't come like that.
No.
It don't come like that.
No.
It comes when you get ready for it. I said it comes when you get ready for it.
Glory.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Read on, Brother Creel. Notice now.
The oil of joy for mourning.
Now notice, we traded out. We got beautiful ashes and the oil of joy for mourning.
Yes.
The oil of joy. A lot of folks ought to be anointed with oil of joy.
Yeah.
Oil of joy.
Yeah.
All of joy.
Uh-huh.
So many unhappy folks tonight. I never saw so many unhappy folks.
Yes.
Unhappy folks. I was driving down the road quite some time ago, and I noticed a big billboard, red big sign. The advertisement was about carnation milk. Our milk comes from contented cows. I said, that's a shame. Living in a generation of contented cows and unhappy people. You see, the money that hired Hughes had never brought him happiness.
No.
I learned something nearly every day. I just learned in the past few weeks, I don't know how it could ever happen, but a person that can't even type and can even use a telephone could write a book. Don't know whether you know what I'm talking about or not. That's the scandal in Washington. $14,000 a year.
Yeah.
And couldn't answer the telephone and couldn't even try it. But now she's wrote a book.
Yeah.
I'm learning something every day.
Yeah.
My God, let me tell you, friend, money, fame, and honor can never bring the true happiness of Jesus Christ. But that oil of joy, that oil of joy, hallelujah, that oil of joy, I've struck it rich. That's right, I've struck it rich, hallelujah. I've struck it all well, hallelujah. I've struck it all well. Praise God, just say, I've struck it all.
Hallelujah,
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 hallelujah.
Holy,
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 holy.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory.
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 You know what should happen? If we could get every preacher on this campground and every saint of God on this campground swam full. As he used to say, where I live, swam full. That's right. Get a slam full.
Yeah.
And everybody go to running over. We stock a revival on this campground that will go to every church in this district.
Hallelujah.
You know who you have your trouble with? It's those that's about half in and half out.
Yeah. Right.
If you let a fellow get a happy, he don't have time to cause trouble.
No.
That's right. He's full of joy. Hallelujah. With anything, that's all right with me, brother.
Yeah,
let me hear the preaching and let me shout, let me sing. Hallelujah. That's all. That's all. That's all. But if the Father just let the joy loose out of his vessel.
Right.
Man, am I ever preaching tonight? Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah, get at it.
Come on now. Notice the oil of joy.
Yeah.
Beautiful ashes. Come on.
Yeah.
Come
the
on.
Garment of praise.
The garment of praise. You know what? People ought to change garments.
Yeah. Yeah.
They wore that old garment so long.
Yeah.
Never praised God. Never thanked God for nothing. Just sat there like a sponge.
Yeah.
And sometimes like a flint rock. You need to put on another garment.
Yeah.
What is it? Come on. Put on
the garment,
the
of,
garment of praise
for the spirit
of the spirit
of heaviness.
Of heaviness.
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 Heavy hearts. Wounded hearts. Broken spirits. Broken homes. Sin, envy, strife. Somebody said, I can't praise God There's something wrong with you if you can't praise God. Come on, the garments of praise. You have the Spirit of praise.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Woo!
Glory.
Glory.
Glory. Glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Well, praise God. The garment of praise. Full of spirit and heaviness.
Yes.
Beautiful ashes. The oil of joy for mourning.
Uh-huh.
Why did he say all of this?
That they may be called.
That they may be called
trees,
trees
of righteousness.
Of righteousness.
The planting of the Lord.
The planting of the Lord.
That he might be glorified.
That he might be glorified. We are trees. We are trees. The trees that might be blessed. The planting of the Lord. Beautiful ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The Spirit. Listen. The Spirit of heaviness. You can exchange the life for a garment of praise.
Yeah.
My, hallelujah. Jeremiah 17 and 7. The planting of the Lord. Listen, you just hold on. If it gets too rough, fasten your seatbelts. But I'm going to walk somebody's footlong here tonight. Brother Weeks, he's the boss of this thing over here.
Yeah.
And he told me to preach.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Right. Glory. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
When it comes down to preach, and when it comes down to doctrine, a lot of folks are as lost as a termite in a yo-yo. They don't know which way they're going. They don't even know what they believe in. That's right. They don't even know what they believe in.
Always up and down.
Up and down, in and out, swinging here and swinging there. Well, I don't know. I'm going where the fire's falling. Yeah. You know where I'm going? I'm going where the gospel is preached.
That's it.
That's right. That's where I'm going. You'll never be saved by a miracle. You'll be saved by the preaching of the Word of God. Hallelujah.
Hey,
that saves you. I hope I'm on safe ground. I believe the rapture takes place in Revelation chapter 4, the first two verses.
I do too.
I believe it takes place in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4,
right,
and verse 13,
right,
before the tribulation.
Yes,
I argued with a man not long ago. He said, "Do you believe the church is going out before the tribulation?" I said, "I certainly do." He said, "I don't." Well, now I said, "Why don't you?" You see, I don't let people ask me all the questions. I ask them a few.
Yeah.
Like I was preaching one night, and the fellow went to sleep. Didn't worry me because I felt like he had confidence in me. He just go to sleep and just leave me with it, knowing I was going to do a good job. And when I got through, he yawned about twice and got up, come walking down the pulpit. He said, "Say, I've got a question." I said, "What is it?" The Bible said that Cain found his wife in the land of Nod. Who was she? I said, "You've been over there for 45 minutes. You ought to have found out what is over there."
Yeah, he ought to have found out.
I said, "You've asked me why I believe the church will not go through the tribulation." I said, "You tell me why you do believe." He said, "The church must go through the tribulation to perfect the saints." I said, "There's not one verse in this Bible that ever teaches me that tribulation will ever perfect anybody."
Right.
I said, "If that be true, what's going to happen to all the saints in the graveyard tonight? You mean they're not perfected?" I said, "This is what perfects the saints. Is the preaching
of the Word of God.
Amen.
Glory.
That's it, brother.
The Word of God will cut your limb off till you can climb a little higher. A lot of stories are told on preachers, and I heard about one the other day that went out to Colorado hunting, and he rambling along, didn't know nothing about a shotgun. He met a bear. He threw that shotgun down, and here he went. He found one tree, and the first limb on it was 20 feet from the ground. But he jumped. He missed it, but he caught it when he came back down. You see, the Word of God will straighten you up and it'll straighten you out. Tell it tonight.
Yeah.
It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching, not foolish preaching, but through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe.
Yes.
That's what the Bible says.
That's it.
Jeremiah 17:7, I notice what he said.
Blessed is the man
that trusteth in the Lord.
Whose hope
the Lord is.
And he shall be as a tree.
Oh, that man that's got his hope in the Lord. That man that leans up on Jesus. He is going to be like a tree. He's going to be like a tree. He's going to be like a tree. He's going to be like a tree.
Yeah.
Planted in the desert.
Yeah.
Planted by the water.
No, planted in the desert.
Planted by the water. Waters.
I was preaching. And I always sent the front door, and the lady came ambling through. She said, "That's a dry service I ever saw in my life." Well, I said, "You old dried up basket of shucks, what did you do to help it in?" She had her hair frizzed up. She looked like an afro. She looked like she kissed the light something. And her telling me it was a dry service.
Yeah.
A dry service. You don't mean such a dry, they're living in the desert. You've got to get down close to the river. Hallelujah. That's right. You've got to get down close to the river. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. You've got to get down close to the river. Why don't you pull steps tonight and say, "I've lived out here long enough. I've just about dried up. I want to move up close to the river."
Go.
See, the man that's got his trust in the Lord, the man whose hope the Lord is, that man is the tree.
Right.
He's the tree of righteousness, and he's been planted. He's been planted.
Right.
By the water.
Planted where now?
By the water.
Planted by the water.
Yes,
come on.
And that spreadeth out her roots.
That spreadeth out her roots.
By the river.
By the river. Now, wait a minute. You see, folks, they don't understand us. And I don't understand this. Well, asked me, "What was my hobby?" I said, "Going to church." He said, "What's your pastime?" I said, "Going to church." He said, "Don't you do nothing else?" I said, "Nothing else." You see, I don't even shoot pool. I don't even shoot dice.
Glory.
No.
Don't play poker. Listen, let me tell you something tonight. I guess I can say this. When the church relies on anything but what I'm preaching up here tonight, it's going to fail.
That's right.
Programs are good, they must be had, but you can't depend upon that to take you through. No, sir. You've got to get out of the river water and let the roots of your soul spread out. Let them spread out. Hallelujah. 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 You see, the devil will come. He'll hit you on the right, you still stand. He hits you on the left, you still stand. He'll hit you in the face, you still stand. Then he comes to your back, but you still stand. You see, they don't understand. Our support is not visible. It's invisible. It's invisible. The roots of our soul, you see, they have stretched out.
At last they have found the river of water. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, everything outside, they seem so dull and drab. But on the inside, there's a well of living water that is springing up into everlasting life. To everlasting life. That man shall be as a tree that's planted by the waters. Read on now.
And he shall not see when he
and
cometh.
He shall not see when he cometh. Psalm 104:16. Now that man shall not see when he cometh. Read on.
But her leaves shall be green.
But her leaves shall be green.
And shall not be careful.
And shall not be careful.
In the year of drought.
In the year of drought.
Neither shall increase from yielding fruit.
Neither shall cease
from yielding
fruit. That's the man that's planted by the river of waters. Rivers of waters. And you hear a lot of folks testify, and the way they act, they got the Holy Ghost for an eyedropper. They just did get it, that's all. But this is rivers of it. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
I went to a soap factory one time where they make palm oil soap. And I said, how do you put your that good palm oil oil in there to give such a good order to that soap? So somebody stands over the vat with an eyedropper and said, we don't put much in it. And that's the way some folks got religion tonight. Did you ever think where the Bible said and the Holy Ghost was poured out? Did you ever take a vessel and just turn it bottom side up and just pour it out? Well, that's how the Holy Ghost comes. You don't get it in broken doses.
That's
good. I was talking to one of these preachers. He believed in three works of grace. You got saved, sanctified, and then got the Holy Ghost. I said, explain it to me. He said, you come tonight to the altar and get saved. Come the next night, get sanctified. The next night, you get the Holy Ghost. And I said, how do you know the difference between saving and sanctification? What tells you the difference? Well, he said, it's a feeling. Well, I said, I don't know about that. Now, he said, you get the Holy Ghost on the third night. Well, I said, now, if you backslide, you backslide from the Holy Ghost, you're still sanctified. Then you backslide from being sanctified, you're still saved. Then you backslide from being saved. He said, no, he said, you lose it all at one time. I said, yes, that's how you get it. So get it all at one time. Hallelujah! God don't come and get it, don't you?
Praise
God, he pours it out upon you. Hallelujah! That's right, I said, he pours it! Oh, it was poured out. Hallelujah! It was poured out. It was poured out. The Holy Ghost was poured out.
Yeah.
On all them that heard the word. That's right.
Yeah.
All them that heard the word. Now let's go to Psalm 104:16.
The trees of the Lord.
Now just a minute. The trees of the Lord
are full of sap.
Now wait a minute. How many of you know what sap means to a tree? Life. Is it life?
Life.
That's where I came from years ago when they got ready to take in a 40-acre tract of land. They didn't have all this modern equipment. You know what they did? They'd go down and take an ox and they'd cut a ring around the tree at a certain time of the year.
Right.
You know what that ring did around that tree? It kept the flow sap from coming from the roots up the body of the tree and into the limbs. And that tree would die on its own accord. If I don't prove to you tonight what this living water that's going to keep the church alive, I won't be preaching here tomorrow night. I'll leave. But I'm not going to leave. I'm going to prove what I set out to prove tonight. Hallelujah. Now, maybe some of y'all don't even know what a new ground is. I don't know. I do. You know, there's no such thing as city folks. You know what city folks are? C
city folks, the country folks should come to town so they could work in the shade. That's right. But when these fellows would take these old Georgia plow stocks, they didn't have modern equipment to plow in that new ground. And they plowed, you know. And that plow would strike an old root under the ground, and some of them could stretch out so long when it breaks, it knocked your shin off. And if you didn't have religion, you'd curse. That's a new ground. You hear me? That's the new ground. Listen, let me tell you, I'll never have nobody to ask me, Brother Gamlin, is this right? Is this right? Is this right? It's always, is this wrong? Is this wrong? Is this wrong? Let me tell you something tonight. Anything that you cannot bless your God over and thank Him for and invite Him to go with you, that thing is wrong, and I don't care what it is.
Right.
I read the other day that there are more TV sets in America than there are Baptists. The moral of that story is a lot of folks are watching television mighty dirty in this country. Man, don't look at me in that corner, boys. I read the other day, a man that don't even belong to the Pentecostal church. He said in this great year of decision, while all the eyes in the world are turned up on America, America is watching television. I'm going to tell you what's wrong. Listen, I'm going to tell you what's wrong. The purpose in cutting this ring around the tree was to stop that vital flow of sap. If you don't remember another thing I've told you tonight, remember this. Anything that you permit to come into your spiritual life that will block the vital flow of living water, which is the Holy Ghost.
Lord, not in my cup run over. In the New Testament church, we've got wells. Not a cup full, we've got wells.
Hallelujah! If you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But whosoever shall drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again.
That woman said, how can you give anybody to drink? You have nothing to go with, and the well is deep. Jesus said, if you only knew the gift of God and who it is that said unto thee, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. Somebody said, what I don't know don't hurt me. It did here. If you only knew who it was, if you only knew the gift of God, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water.
Right.
Living water. Living water.
Listen, listen, listen. The Holy Ghost means to your soul exactly what sap means to a tree. It means what?
Right.
The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life.
Hallelujah. Give me Psalm 46:4. Notice now. There is a river. I can quote it, but I want it read. And then Hebrews 12:22. Then Jeremiah 2:13. John 7:37. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then I'm going to close out with Romans chapter 6 when I get ready to close.
There is a river.
There is a river.
The streams whereof shall be made
friends. The streams. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad.
The city of God.
Shall make glad.
The city of God.
David said, I was glad when the son unto me come and let us go to the house of the Lord. There is a river. The streams shall make glad. The city of God. Hebrews 12:22. I want to show you where we've come to.
But you are come unto
Mount Zion.
Unto the city of the living God.
Unto the city of the living God.
And the heavenly Jerusalem.
And the heavenly Jerusalem.
And unto the innumerable,
and to an innumerable company of angels.
To the general assembly.
And the church.
Yeah. And the church.
And the church.
Of the firstborn.
And the church.
Glory.
No, wait a minute. Churches. Didn't it say churches?
No, sir. Glory. Church. Singular.
Listen. Hear me.
Everything he did not plant is going to be rooted up. Everything he didn't build is going to fall. This only works in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. This is strange, but here's how it is. He's the foundation. He's the designer. He's the builder. And he's the head of it. Hallelujah. That's right. He's the head of it. He never built but one. Take your Bible and show me wherever built to. But now, go to the church of your choice. I agree with that if you choose the right one. And right? There is my vision of the rapture. When the trump of God sounds, the head of our church is going to start toward the earth. The dead saints are coming out first, and the living saints will be changed. And we're all going to start toward heaven at the sound of the trumpet. And out there somewhere in midair, the head is going to be joined to the body, and we shall forever be with the Lord.
Glory. Yes. Glory. Glory. Glory.
We've come to the city of God. To Mount Zion.
Yeah.
The church of the firstborn.
Yeah.
Let me tell you tonight. There's a lot of plants out here that's growing that has not been planted by the Lord. There's a lot of vines out there that's growing that has not been planted by the Lord. That's not growing in the vineyard of God. There's two vines tonight. There is the vine. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you the branches. Then there's a vine of the world. Revelation 14 will bear that out. There's a vine of the world. There's a vine of Jesus and a vine of the world. When he comes back, it's not the quantity of fruit, but it's the quality of fruit that's going to count. Somebody said, what's he going to do with all of these false doctrines and these false prophets and all of these false religions? I'm not staying with them.
No.
But you wait till the master starts down through the vineyard with his plow.
That's it.
He's going to uproot everything that he did not build. That's what. That he did not build. That he did not build. He's going to root it up. He's going to root it up.
Yeah.
Everything else but Christ is sinking sand.
That's it.
But on him like a rock I shall stand. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've already come to the church of the firstborn. The church of the firstborn. And I'm going to tell you tonight, the church of the firstborn had its origin, its beginning, in the city of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. We've already got there. The church of the firstborn.
Yeah.
The church of the firstborn.
Yeah.
The church of the firstborn. He didn't build but one. He's going to uproot everything he didn't plant. Everything he didn't build. He's going to uproot it.
Yeah.
You just well to come on and say amen. Praise God because it's the truth tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, let's go to John 7:37 and Jeremiah 2:13. Now, we read this the other night, but I want to prove another point right here. John chapter 7 and verse 37. Now, Jesus said, the water that I'm going to give him will be in him a well of water. Now, let's see what Jesus said.
In the last day.
In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers.
That's it.
Rivers.
Not eyedropper.
Rivers.
Rivers. Rivers. Living water. Living water. Now, what is that living water? Read it. Read on. But this faith of the Spirit.
Okay. All right.
Y'all must be excited.
We sure
are.
Now, the only thing, just don't read that Bible upside down. Oh, hallelujah. Man, listen, I haven't been so full of preach since about that this time right before that. I feel like walking on that piano all up through this choir. Brother Simpson, I feel it tonight, friend. Brother Miller, an old timer. Thank God. We're going to have a Holy Ghost revival in this place. I said, we're going to have a Holy Ghost revival in this place. That's right. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory. Read it now. But this faith here, what?
The Spirit.
Church membership.
The Spirit.
Card signing.
The Spirit.
Twitch your eyebrow.
The Spirit.
Make your decision.
Oh, the Spirit.
Turn on your lights.
The Spirit.
No, this faith here, the Spirit.
Which
they that believe on him
should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given
because Jesus was not yet glorified. Hallelujah. But since that time he's been crucified, buried, resurrected, and glorified. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost is a river. How the Holy Ghost is that river. Jeremiah 2:13, right quick.
For my people,
have committed two evils.
They have forsaken me.
The fountain of living water.
That's right.
Just a minute now. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water.
The Holy Ghost.
He's the fountain here. This is where this comes from. It's not worked up, it's prayed down. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Now, when they forsake the real, what do they do?
Hew them out cisterns.
Oh, they'll make a system, all right. Don't forget that. And the Bible calls it a cistern. They will hew them out cisterns.
Broken cisterns.
Broken cisterns.
That can hold no water.
Can hold no water. No wonder they tell me that they don't talk in tongues in their church. I said, I don't doubt that at all, but they talk in tongues in God's church.
Yeah.
That's right. The two of the broken sisters just won't hold in the water. Now listen. I'm watching the clock, but it don't mean a thing. It don't mean a thing. Listen. I'm going to use three more scriptures. And I want Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. I want Ephesians 2:19 and Romans the 6th chapter and the first 6 verses. Now, I want to show you something here. If you will just center your mind right on these three last scriptures, I want to show you what the gospel will do for you. Colossians chapter 1. Read when ready.
What verse?
Verses number 12 and 13. Colossians chapter 1.
Strengthened with all might. According to his glorious power.
Unto all patience.
And long suffering with joyfulness.
Giving thanks unto the Father.
Which hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
Is that Colossians 1:12?
That is Colossians 1:12.
All right, let's get the 13th verse.
Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom
of his dear son. Now, do you know that the way I'm preaching tonight, you can use the word translated and transplanted. Means all the same thing. To transplant or translate means to change from one place to another. Did you ever transplant a tree? You dig it up, right? That's what I'm doing tonight. And you're lacking it. You know, you want somebody to tell you the truth. That's right. Brethren, we must plow a straight furrow. We must plow deep. Sometimes plows a furrow so crooked until a blacksmith would break his back if he tried to crawl it. It's got to be straight and deep. You've got to dig people up. Some of the best saints I've ever laid my two eyes on was people when they got dug up, they said they'd never come back to church again. They're going to whip the preacher and burn the church house down. God just dug them up. That's right.
That's
God
right.
dug them up.
Yes, he did.
I remember 39 years ago this summer. I never will forget. I had a tent meeting. I can see that tent and that cow pasture flecking in the breeze just like it was 39 years ago. And the first night, I preached easy. I preached from God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now a nice, well-dressed man met me down the aisle. He said, man, he said, I've never been to a Pentecostal meeting. You talk about singing. He said, you've got to sing it. He said, you talk about preaching. He said, I just never heard nothing like that. You know, let me tell you, that never affects me either way. When folks bribe me or when they criticize me, I take it all with a grain of salt. Because I've had it all to happen to me. As long as you preach what folks like, you're the best preacher in the world. But when you dig them up, they don't like you too well. You can take an old tomcat, put him up in your lap, rub the fur the right way. He'll purr all day long. Rub it the wrong way, and Tommy will spit in your eyeball. If you don't like my rubbing, you'll just have to turn around. I can't change my rubbing. That's right. Hallelujah. Just can't change my rubbing. Hallelujah. That's right. Praise God. He said, I own a dairy here in town. He said, tell me where you stay. And he said, I'll have the boys to leave a gallon of sweet milk on the front porch every morning. I told him the next morning, that's when we had window blinds, you know, and window shades. It did it up. That's that. The next night, he met me down the aisle. Best preaching I've ever heard. That night, number six. You see, I don't take a single barrel shotgun. I take a double barrel. And that night, I loaded both barrels full of everything I could get my hands on. Sharp hammers, anvils, railroad spikes, and everything else that I could get. Man, I pulled back both hammers, and I let both triggers go, and that fellow was the deacon. And I watched him while I was preaching. I knew something was wrong. That night, he didn't meet me down the aisle. As quick as I wound up, I was lipless, swept my hair down to my face, I slipped around the back of the tent, and before he knew what had happened, I'd walk right up inside of him. I said, hey, deacon, how you feeling tonight? He said, I'm sick. I said, really? Yeah, man, he said, I'm sick. In my mind, I said, goodbye, sweet milk. His wife, I wouldn't have taken $500 for what she said. She just dumped it out the letter. Said, Brother Gamble said, that man's not sick. Said, he's mad. You know what happened, don't you? I plowed down his new ground that night. That's right. Run down the line I went.
Glory.
Hey, I plowed up things he didn't know was down there. I pulled up old dead stumps and rotten logs. And if you don't watch out, I'll start the preaching yet. You know what he reminded me of? He reminded me of a little dummy toad fog full of buckshot. The more I preached, the bigger he swelled, and the bigger he got. Man, he was mad. He looked up at me and he said, listen, He said, if what you preached up for tonight's right, he said, I guess it is, you've got it out of the Bible. He said, when it comes to religion, I ain't got an ounce. Now, if I'd have been preaching a social gospel, a preaching for his money, I'd have let that man went on and on and on and on and on. But I dug him up. That's our job, is to dig him up. It's a transplant. That's right, dig him up. Just dig him up and let him change positions. He came back the next night. And the next night, he came to the altar. He buried his two knees in a pile of sawdust. And the next morning at 2 o'clock, in that town, they knew that deacons could still get the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 2:19, notice what he said. Ephesians 2:19.
Now therefore, you're no more strangers.
We're no more strangers than foreigners.
But
fellow citizens.
With the saints.
With the saints.
And the household of God.
And the household of God.
And are built upon the foundation.
Of the apostles and prophets.
Jesus Christ himself.
Being the chief cornerstone.
In whom all the building. Fitly framed.
Together.
Grow it.
Oh, someone said, I can't find a place in the church. You can if you let the Lord heal you down to size. God's got a ruler. He's got a handsaw and a plane. He knows how to just trim you down to size and you'll fit right in the building. Now, I didn't charge you a thing for that. That's extra. Read on.
Fitly framed together.
Grow it.
Unto a holy temple in
and
the Lord.
To a holy temple in the Lord.
In whom ye also are builded together.
In whom also you build it together.
For an habitation.
Of God through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. Somebody said, why the church? That's where God lives. This is his habitation. He lives in the church.
Yes.
I said he lives in the church. This is God's habitation. Now, one of you brothers, get your Bible and come right up here. And we're going to sing a song in just a minute. Now, after all this preaching I've done tonight, if I'd walk away from this pulpit and not tell you how to get planted, I'd do you a grave injustice. The trees of the Lord, the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, every plant that he's not planted, shall be rooted up. How do we get planted? Romans chapter 6.
Well, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin?
That grace may abound?
God forbid. For how shall we that are dead to sin?
How shall we that are dead to sin?
Live any longer
therein? Live any longer therein?
Know ye not? That so many of us. As were baptized. Into Jesus Christ. Were baptized into his death.
Now notice these two words. If you were baptized into Jesus Christ, you are baptized into his death. I'll read it.
Therefore we are buried with him. By baptism. Into death. That like is Christ.
Was raised up from the dead.
By the glory of the Father. Even so we.
Should walk.
In the newness of life.
Now did you notice the subject here? His death. His burial. His baptism. Baptized into his death, baptized into Christ. As Christ was raised up from the dead, you shall also rise to walk in newness of life. Now the next verse explains it all.
If we have been planted. Together. In the likeness of his death. We shall be baptism
in his name.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. That's how you get planted. You get planted in his name. You get planted in his name. When you're baptized in his name, you're planted. Now, what's going to happen when you're cleansed?
For if we have been planted together in the likeness
of his death. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death.
We shall be also.
We shall be also.
In the likeness.
In the likeness.
Of his.
Of his.
Resurrection.
Resurrection.
Glory. Glory.
Let us stand. Everybody stand and lift your hands. And let's praise God tonight.